morning. Here we are on Sunday School Lesson, August 28th. Imagine that. Next Sunday is September. Football season started. Time football season's over, it'll be New Year. So, Well, the Psalms that we are looking at today and the last lesson in this quarter and of this year is magnify our incomparable Lord, meaning that God is incomparable to anyone else, any other God, any wishful thinking or whatever. Talks about in the lesson how that people think if they have faith, it's all that that's all the person needs. No, you have to have faith in God. And in the Lord God, God of Jehovah, God of Jacob. And so you have to put and define your faith and what your faith is based on. Well, today, there are two psalms that we are looking at, Psalm 86 and 146. And they are psalms that start out as basically letters and break into songs, or there are a song that starts out and comes into a letter or into a conversation. Now, David begins this psalm with hallelujah, which is a which is two words, meaning that that of Jehovah God and Lord Adonai. So it is the worship of God our Lord. And so as we put this word and say hallelujah, we are worshiping the name of God, and He is our Lord. So three times in Psalm 86, David addresses himself as God's servant, and while he references God as Adonai, meaning Lord, he references that 10 times, and as Jehovah, which is worship, which is referencing God, he does that 5 times. So in these Psalms, he is making sure that those who are listening or those who would be reading this psalm, they know to whom he is directing this praise and directing what he is about to say or is saying. He is directing it to God, and that we should recognize that as recognize God as the Lord our Savior or the Lord God Jehovah. So it's the foundation of the lesson then is on the character of God. And it's important that we understand the character of God. If you don't understand the character of God, we assign or we misinterpret our faith, and we misinterpret what the scriptures are saying to us, or misinterpret our concept of God. Because the character of God is that, you know, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere present, he's all-knowing, he is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So all-knowing, all present, and everywhere present at the same time, and that he is there with us at all, you know, in everything. So it is impossible for us to be someplace that God is not. So, and then we have his character. The character is more than just his qualities. It is the understanding of his love, of his grace, his mercy that he extends to us, you know. Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is he has the ability to punish. He is great enough to punish or bring destruction, but chooses not to because of his mercy. So to understand the character of God then is to put all these qualities and more in place, and then we look at how we are going to worship him, or how we are going to pray, how we're going to look at our life and see that God is not against us. It's impossible for God to be against us. He, you know, he wants us to succeed. We are his servants. We are his children. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is the good shepherd. So the good shepherd would never want any of his flock to go astray. He would never want any of his flock to be sacrificed to the wolves or to the person who would be stealing them. Thief. would not want us to be subject to the thief. So whenever we see then that God is faithful, that he is trustworthy, that he is good, and that he should be God should be the sole object of our life and that we direct our life towards him. So he is the creator and he is the sustainer of our life. So whenever we are then focusing on this character of God, then we can perhaps pursue our prayers in a correct manner. We can pursue what God has laid on our heart. We can then live our life in victory, knowing that God is the author and finisher of our faith and that he wants us to, as it were, succeed in his plans and in his purpose for our life. As we look at the first psalm, Psalm 86, beginning at verse 1, David says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy." Now that's that one there is a, it's like you read that and you go, well, David's sure arrogant. He's saying, God, you're holy and I'm holy. You know, no. I'm glad it in the commentary it said that when Jesus taught us to pray, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Well, in the same token, he is saying the Hebrew rendered the word holy is elsewhere translated as merciful. So he is basically saying, preserve my soul, for I am merciful, O God, as thou art merciful. So I am holy as thou art holy. It's really kind of the word that is used there is should be perhaps merciful. But again, I'm not a theologian and not a Hebrew scholar. But anyhow, that's kind of what it is looking at here. And bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me. David is acknowledging that God is in the high heavens, as it were. He is above the earth, high above the earth in heaven. And he is asking God to bow down and hear, bend over, as it were, and listen to what I am asking for. So David is acknowledging the presence of God. He's acknowledging the sovereignty of God. And he is asking God to be merciful. Be merciful unto me, verse 3. O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. Thou wilt answer me. So it's important that as David is recognizing, you know, sometimes it's good for us to review our understanding of God when we pray. You know, sometimes we just, God, thank you for, and when we start praying. Well, David, you know, he is talking about God, you are the most high God in the highest heavens. Bow down, as it were, bend your ear towards me and listen to what I am saying. Now, we know that God hears and knows our thoughts and intents of our heart, let alone our voice. And so, but what we are asking is that God would be attentive to what we have to say. So whenever we ask God to be attentive, we're just basically outlining in ourselves, God hears my prayer. You know, I think of when Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus, he says, God, I thank you that you always hear me when I pray. And then he goes on to say, I don't say this because I need to. I say this for the people around that they may know who it is that I'm praying to. So Jesus did it, and you know, he is setting forth that pattern that we can use in our prayer to remind ourselves it is God who hears us when we pray. It is God who initiates the faith that we have to begin our prayer. So whenever we are asking for something from God, God is the one who is initiating that ask. Because He sees the need, and he is working through us to meet that need. And so through the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous has much power and availeth much. It has tremendous weight. It has a tremendous quality to it. So praying, you know, if God is initiating the prayer, then we need to recognize that it is his faith also that he gives to us. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So as we hear the word of God, it stimulates, it feeds the trust that we have in God. And so whenever our faith is stimulated, when our faith begins to trust more, to trust God even more by asking for the request that is before us, that's not selfish. That's God telling us, wake up and look at this. I want to do something through you. I want you to feel the need. I want you to feel what I feel. And I want you to pray for my presence to be in that life. So if it were all solely on God, he could just zap us all and we'd all have to, you know, obey or die. But he isn't like that. He gives us all the opportunities. And so we then, as believers, have the responsibility to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can quicken our minds and our hearts and our lives to the needs of the people that we come in contact with. And then whenever our spirit is quickened to the needs of the people that we come in contact with, we are to pray for them. And we would pray for them in the way that God would pray for them. So we are actually God's vessel, God's mouthpiece. We are God's request for intervention in the lives of these individuals. So David is saying, I cry unto thee daily. So, you know, while I select, and I know that, well, I talked to, you know, again, different individuals, and one individual recently was, they didn't want to ask too much of God because, you know, they didn't want to wear out their welcome, basically. And it's like, no, you don't understand the character of God. God is, you're not going to wear out your welcome. You're not going to wear out your allotted benefits, you know. I cry, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, I lift my soul. So David says, I cry to him daily. I lift my soul to the Lord, and that I present myself before God. For Lord, you are good. You know, we sing that song, you know, God is, he is good, good Father, our good, good Father. And so God is good, and God, and good is not just like, oh, isn't that a good thing? No, it's great, grand, grandiose, marvelous. He is good. He was full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of love. It's just who he is. And he is ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. So look at the character of God. What does he want us to see? He wants us to see that he is willing to forgive. Well, who is he willing to forgive? Every one of those individuals we came in contact with. Well, how bad are they? God doesn't say that. What is their need? That's what he asks us. What is their need? So we present their need to God. And in that process, we are giving ourselves over to the Spirit, and that the Spirit of God is speaking through us, not only for us, but for those around us, for our nation, for whoever may be in office. God help us. Pray for them. Pray for those who are in authority over you. We pray for them. And then he goes on to say, verse 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. So he's asking God to bow down. He's asking God to listen. He's asking God to give an ear, O Lord, to my prayer. You know, do you ever ask, can I have your ear for a moment? It's like, okay, what are you going to tell me? You know? Are you listening to me? That's what God God is asking us. He says, are you listening to me? You know, and we're saying, we do the same. God, are you listening to me? Give me an ear here. You know, I need some help. Well, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. Attend, listen to what I have to say. So we then must consider what we are saying as worthy to be heard. And what is worthy to be heard? The needs of our heart. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, if God already knows all of this, why is he wanting us to pray? Because he wants us, God could do he could do anything. He could send the angels to be messengers. He could send, he could have the rocks cry out and start talking. He could do any of those things. But Jesus was coming in triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And they were saying, keep your disciples quiet, keep these people quiet. Jesus said, if they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out. So he could use rocks to talk. He could use a donkey. He does in the Old Testament. He uses a donkey to talk to his rider. So God is not beyond doing the supernatural, but he is looking for us to have a heart like his and to see the world as he sees it. So in the day of my troubles, I will call upon you, for you will answer. So when I'm in trouble, well, I only pray when things go bad. Well, God doesn't say don't pray when things go bad, but he says learn to pray when everything's good. So it's not going to, well, you only talk to me when you're in need. You ever have those? I think I should create a list of those. People, never mind. Let's go on to verse 8. Because God hears him, he loves him, so he's telling me, David, straighten up and fly right here. Verse 8. Now, I thought it odd that he would say, among the gods, there is none like you. So why would he say among the gods? Well, where he lives, where David lives, there the people of Israel, they have multiple gods. They're not serving God Jehovah as he is. They have adopted the gods of the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and all those foreign nations that they failed to drive out of their country. They left the people there with their gods, and so the people had assimilated these gods into their worship. And David is saying, among the gods, among all those gods that are out there that these people are worshiping and bowing down to, God, Father, Jehovah, there is none like unto you. O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. There is nothing like our God. He is not like us. We become like him. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shalt glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things, for thou art God alone. Thou art God alone. There are many gods that people have made through their imaginations and through, there's gods of the night and gods of the day, gods of fertility, gods of, cruel gods, merciless gods, and the thing about these merciless gods is that the people who worship them have to appease the gods. They have to make the gods happy. And so they have devised plans whereby they think these gods that they have made up need to be made happy. And so they do all these crazy things. They sacrifice their children to these gods because they these people make them, and then they make up rules to follow him, and most of the time the gods are angry at them. So that's why they made them. There's no rain. So God, the gods must be angry. We need a god of rain. Oh, it's a flood. Oh, we need a god of sunshine, you know. And so they, you know, they just made gods for everything. So the pagans, they worshiped the many gods. But David declared, none of these gods compare to the God that he is speaking of. And somewhere in here, it talks about, it is the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob, the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, whose name later is changed to Israel, and his sons become the tribes, the divisions or the tribes of Israel. So we find that it is the God of Jacob. This is the same God that brought the nation of Israel together into Egypt, out of Egypt, into the promise, through the desert, into the promised land, through the prophets and through Saul and now to David. It's the same God. He isn't like the other gods. We worship God in response to his creative works. So God is the creator. He is the sustainer. It isn't this appeasement we've got to make him happy. We've got to somehow make these gods like us, you know. And again, you know, I think of people that think, well, you know, I was bad in my life, but I've got to do some good things to balance it out. It's like, there again, they've made a god out of God, and they don't know the character of the God of Jacob, the God of that Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. They don't know his character, because they're thinking that they've got to balance the sheet, and God says it's impossible. It's only through faith, and it's only through confession and receiving Christ as your Savior that all these things are taken away. The sins of our life are taken away. In comparison, the Lord is not confined to a lordship over a single situation. So as the people make up their gods, there's the God of the night and the God of the day. Well, God Jehovah is not a God of a singular situation. He is a God of all things. He is a God of all things. There is no God with works like the works of his hands. That's Psalm 86:8. God is unique in his greatness. He does wondrous works, and there is no other God beside him. He is God alone. All right? So whenever we begin to pray, and whenever we worship, and whenever we recognize that God is with us, he alone is God. His character is such, you know, his eyes are upon us. His will is for our life. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. So God takes us, leads us into places that he wants us to be. If he didn't want us to be somewhere, the door would close. Now, of course, we can kick the door in, but, you know, most of the time God doesn't let us do that. He says, David, smarten up, okay? You're not supposed to go that way. But I want to. Oh, well. So David's song shouts that our uniquely wonderful God is both good and he is great. Our uniquely wonderful God. Okay? So don't make him up. Understand him for who he is in the character that is presented in the scripture. Verse 11 of chapter 86 of Psalm. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Wow. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. So we are to learn the ways of God. And how do we learn the ways of God is looking at the scripture, looking at the text, and seeing how that people can go through trials like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, thrown into the fiery furnace. Our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. So there is a unique quality about God, that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches, not according to what is around us or what we possess. He is going to supply every need. So our prayers then are that we would unite our heart with his. How does God see me, and how does he see my situation? Unite our heart with his and pray as if God were praying through you for that need. So if God loves someone and we see them, how would God pray for that person? He wants us to have that prayer. So he then is inspiring us to pray. And we are praying according to what we understand the character of God. Not that they are going to balance out their life for good and evil. They've been really bad. Now they got to do a lot of good to make up. No. He forgives us of our sins, cleanses from all unrighteousness. He makes everything new. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. The character of God, quality of God. Teach me thy ways. Unite my heart in fear, to fear thy name. Unite my heart to be in awe and reverential fear, reverential awe of you. Help me to have that reverential respect, awe, longing for you. That's the prayer here. And I will praise you. I'm going to thank you. I will thank you for Lord, oh Lord my God. I will thank you with all of my heart. I will glorify your name. I will glorify thy name forevermore. Great is your mercy, your favor towards me. Think about that. Great is your mercy toward me. Great is your divine favor, your blessings that are towards me. They are beyond measure. They are beyond any anything that we can imagine. For great is thy mercy to more. Great is your divine favor towards me. You've delivered me from the lowest of hell. So therefore, don't think about what hell has done or what hell is doing. God, you've delivered me from all of that. I do not need to go to the pit to see the righteousness of God. I simply lift my heart and my hands and my mind toward God, my Savior, and I see his mercy and I come before him with thanksgiving. Verse 14. David's prayer here is, and the reason, in one of the reasons he is praying, O God, the proud are risen against me. People are against me. Imagine that. And the assembly of violent men have sought after my soul and have set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. It is thought that perhaps this is Solomon, not Solomon, thought that it is Absalom. Now, I knew there was an S in there. It's thought that this is Absalom that is, you know, kicked him out of the palace and his people who are in favor of Absalom being king are chasing after David. So we don't know exactly the situation. But he says, these violent men are after me. But you, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, graciousness, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. This is who God is. He is full of compassion. He is full of grace. He is full of long-suffering. He is plenteous in mercy. The abundance of truth. O turn unto me. God, turn to me. Have mercy upon me. Give me strength. Give thy strength unto thy servant. Give unto me your strength. And save the son of thine handmaiden. Save the son of my mother. Your servant. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. That verse 17 is a unique one. We are praying for good to come to us so that other people will know that we aren't that bad, that we are successful, or that they should not think of us the way that they do. And so I'll leave that there. verse 1 of chapter 14, or excuse me, 146. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. The son of man is not speaking of Jesus. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. So he begins with, again, hallelujah, which is praise be to God. Verse 3 contrasts the trustworthiness of God with that of men. Put not your trust in princes. Don't trust in people. You know, you can take people at their word, but you don't know how far their word goes. And so don't trust in people, but trust in God. he says, human advisors will die, but his word will last forever. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob. There it is. The God of Jacob. Remember the plurality of the many gods? The people that surround him and the people who will be reading this psalm, they have many gods, and he is declaring, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob. Okay. It's the specific God of Jacob. That's who we have. That's, you know, Jesus is the Messiah, that promised descendant from Abraham, through whom all the world would be blessed. It is Jesus. And so the God of Jacob is Jesus Christ. And happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. He is the one who is our help. He is our hope, which made the heavens and the earth and the sea. So he's made all of this. Look around you. Be glad. Sing songs. Praise the Lord. He's made the heavens and the earth, which executed judgment for the oppressed. God is going to judge those who oppress, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Those are those who have been taken captive wrongly. The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. Verse 8. The Lord raised them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turned upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise the Lord. God is going to set everything straight. He is, even no matter how bad things, God is going to set it straight. And what is he going to do with the wicked? He's going to turn them upside down. Well, so things go through your head. I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's got this guy, he's got one hand out there, he's holding this guy over a cliff. And he's just letting him dangle there. And the guy said, you promised me that you would let me die last. You know, Arnold's going to kill all the bad guys, and he's a bad guy. And Arnold says, I lied. So God doesn't lie, and God is not a man that he should fail. But when it's all said and done, they're going to be walking before God and know where their place is. And God, you know, if they are not right with him, they have an eternity separated from him. So God is gracious, God is good, God is merciful, God is truthful. He inspires our hearts to pray. God inspires you to pray for the need of those around you and for those that you see. And believe that he will answer your prayer, because he is faithful, who has placed that word in your heart, and he will perform the good that he has promised. Father, we thank you that you hear us when we pray. We give you honor and glory for the greatness of your word and of your spirit, and God, of the presence that is with us. Every moment of every day, you are with us. So bless your word to our hearts. Help us, O Lord, in our worship of you, in our adoration of you, in our recognition of you in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.